I'm glad I don't have to base my faith on what he's done for me. He's done enough when he died on the cross, when he sent his son to die on the cross. It is who he is that I lean into this morning. The deliverer, the healer, the kind father, all of those things. You guys are stuck with me this morning. Pastor is out of town. He'll be back tomorrow. And I just kind of want to have a conversation today with you. Is that okay? I usually teach and I usually have a big plan. But I just kind of have something I want to share from heart of scripture that just jumped out at me this week. And I just want to kind of break it down and share it with you. I think it will encourage you and I think it will give you fuel. This year has been like none other for so many, right? You know what words I keep hearing over and over are, I'm exhausted. I am tired. My brain is tired. My emotions are tired. And, you know, whether the country realizes it or not, and you might think this is a funny word, but there's grief in our country. There's grief in our lives. And it's okay because when you recognize that, then you can begin to ask God to reveal himself through that. And so, I'll tell you my journey, with losing our daughter, it's coming up on 2 years this December. The grief journey has been exhausting. And I remember a couple months ago, if you've ever been through deep grief before, it is in the beginning days especially, it's amazing when you can get up, drink a cup of coffee, get a shower, and you're exhausted. Have you ever been in that kind of intensity before? A spiritual battle or some kind of physical battle? And my husband came in the kitchen, I guess it's been about 6 months ago now, and I just put my head on his shoulder and I just began to weep. And I said, I feel so defeated. And in a sweet whisper, the Holy Spirit said to me, you're not defeated, you're just depleted. You're just depleted. You're not defeated, you're just depleted. And I want to say to you, church, if you feel defeated, you're not defeated. Chances are you're just depleted. The victory's already been won. So we rest in that. The work's already been done. But this is what happens, is every emotion, every spiritual emotion, every physical thing, everything comes from the same pool. So it doesn't matter for us in the grief journey. It didn't matter if we went out and had a great time or if we really hit a hard time in the grief. It is an expending of energy that you don't have. It's like siphoning the tank, you know? So I want to encourage you with that this morning, and I want to bring you something that I hope will help this morning. I want to go to 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 7. One of my favorite people in the Bible is Paul. Such wisdom and such a crazy, crazy turn of events in his life at every turn. And God was faithful, and God used him powerfully. But at this time, he is in prison, and he is awaiting death. And he writes this to Timothy kind of as a passing of the torch. And there's a couple parts of it I want to focus on this morning. He says to Timothy, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and what? A sound mind. You know what? I am in trouble right here because I turned 50 this year and I forgot to bring my glasses up here. Can you see if they're right there? Hallelujah. Thank you. I was squinting to see that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Ah, thank you. Okay, so here we see the part that jumped out to me. There's several parts, but I want to start with saying that he encouraged him to stir it up, to rekindle the flame, to fan into flame. What does that even mean? Paul had laid hands on Timothy and released him into his gifting, into his ministry. So this is what he was saying to him here is, I am sure, because I knew your grandmother and I knew your mother, and I knew they were faithful servants of the Lord, and I'm sure you are too. And this reason I remind you to fan into flame that gift of God which is in you, because I laid my hands on you and I was there. God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. What does it mean to fan into flame? If you look at the meaning of this, it means to kindle into flame. You know what kindling is, right? To stir up or to fire up. So God has gifted all of us to do something in his kingdom, to do something to serve the Lord. And I think what's happening is we are being dampened by the surroundings. We are being dampened, and our flame is becoming dimmer instead of brighter. And the Lord showed me this week, encourage my church. They don't need to take on the weight of what's going on in the world. That's not your world. That's the world. We are in this world, but we're not of it. So we should have a hope, because our home is the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom, there's fire and there's peace and there's healing and there's deliverance. There's everything that we need as believers. So we have to separate ourselves from thinking, oh, this world's a mess. It always has been. Do you read the Old Testament? Do you think this is as bad as it gets? It's been this way from the beginning. We are terrible. Man is terrible. We are not drawn toward God. It is only the Holy Spirit inside of us that even makes us aware that we need him. We are self-centered. We are prideful. The pride of man is my mom has talked about the pride of man. So many times we'll talk about things and she'll say, there it is, the pride of man, the pride of man. And it rises its ugly head. But we don't live by those standards. So church, we don't need to be discouraged by what we see going on around us. And in reality, the devil's trying to extinguish the flame. But what we need to do is fire it up and be the light to the world. And let it consume us to the point that they only see Jesus. They don't see us. They don't see our opinions. They don't see our affiliations. They don't see all the extra stuff that we put. They see the kingdom and they see Jesus. Amen? So one of the tools that the enemy uses is mentioned in this last part of this verse. And it says, God gave us a spirit not of fear. Okay, how much fear do you see right now? How much fear do you see in the church right now? A lot of it. What happens when you become fearful? Thank you. Rash decisions. You lose your sight. You don't make wise decisions. You make snap decisions to get out of the situation. You're not measured in the way that you think, and your perspective is off when you're in fear. They call it fight or flight. You either cut and run, get away, or you get in there and you fight. Okay? So let's talk about fear for a minute. I want to do a little something. Who's the first person that can come up here with a $5 bill? Y'all are broke. What in the world? $5 bill. Come on, somebody. See, that just proves how resistant you are to getting in your wallets in this church. You see that? Now everybody, okay. You know I'm kidding. You okay, come on up. Actually, come. You got five? You got five? You're rich. Come on.
It's my father's.
Oh, your father's. Yeah. Well, let your father come. No, I'm kidding. Okay. You're going to make An investment. Okay, you're going to make an investment. So you trust me, you're going to make an investment. You're going to give me those $5, and I, if you're investing, what does that mean? That you should get back
interest,
a return. Okay? It's my wallet. Your mom has the same wallet? You have great taste. I'm just kidding. All right, I'm ready. Okay. So, are you ready to give me your $5?
Yeah.
A one, a two, a three, a four, a five. Okay. So, you invested. Okay, now I'm going to give you back your return. Are you ready? You ready for your return? No, I am not cheap. One, two, three.
Thank you.
How's that working for you?
Good. Now I have $3 in my own.
Okay. Did I invest that well? Oh, I forgot to tell you, too. Oh, forgot about this. When I invested your money, I had to pay my secretary. And I had to file paperwork. You know how that is. And then I had to send the paperwork in an envelope with postage. And then I am brilliant. So my fee's $10. So you owe me $10. How's that? Is that a good investment? Is that working for you?
No, because I gave you my $5.
Right.
Right,
right. I should actually give you more than $5 back if I've been wise with the investment. Let's try it again. Are you ready? Hey, hey. I am the banker.
So we're trying it again.
Yeah, but this is my money.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to give it back to you. All right, ready? One,
two,
three, four, five. Okay. Let's try it again. Now you're going to make an investment. Give me your five. You don't trust me. I'm so hurt. Five. You gave me five.
Yes. Yeah. But you have three right there.
Mm-hmm. I know, sassy. I know, sass. All right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
One.
No,
this is five. Two. Three. I gave you the same amount of currency back, but what happened?
It's a different bill. It's worth more than a dollar.
$15.
It might be three, but it's worth more.
Exactly. Okay. Here's what I want to show you. It's a simple illustration, but this is what I want to show you. The enemy likes for us to invest in our fear. He likes it. Because we invest in our fear, and then what does he do? He takes more, and he takes more. And he says, oh, well, you know, anxiety. Well, what have you ever had a panic attack? Those are fun. Those are great. Yeah. Well, you're fearful of that? Well, how about you have dreams about it? Whatever. When we give him our fear, when we invest that to the enemy, he takes more than we ever wanted to give, and then we owe some. Then we owe some. But when we come to Christ and we give him our fear, he gives us peace, love, and a sound mind worth way more than we deserve, way more than we invested, and way more than we need. You can sit down, and that is yours.
Oh, okay.
That is yours. And here, give your dad his back. Here, give your dad his back too. All right. Give her a hand. She's so doggone cute. Do you see what we do? That makes sense to us to see it in money. But what do we do in our everyday life? This is what we do. We let the enemy take that fear and exploit it for his good. For his purposes, for him to take and take. That's why some of you are so depleted, because you're living in that fear, and that fear keeps taking and sucking and pulling from you. And God just says, just give it to me, and I will give you peace. But I'm not sure about that. You don't know that really God doesn't know the situation? Yes, he does. He will give you peace, and he will give you love, and he will give you a sound mind. Why do we bargain for something less than? Why do we settle? Why do we invest in something less than? Did that help anybody see it with actual hands and feet on it, that this is what we do, and I don't want to do that anymore? Do you? I'm going to see that illustration when I say, you cannot do this to me anymore. I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to give him this fear. I'm going to take the power out of your hands. I'm going to go ahead and give it to him, this fear. And what he gives me in return is peace, love, and a sound mind, and more, because he's a big God. And when we release those things, he takes care of us. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So I want to talk for a few minutes about what it means to fan the flame. If you've ever been at a place where you feel dry, number one, that's a key thing to get fear out of the way. To get fear out of the way. There's a scripture that I have come to love, and it's used in the church sometimes as Jesus told the disciples, when you go into a city, if they receive you, stay there, share the good news. If they don't, what does it say? Everybody say it. Shake the dust off your feet. And that's what all I heard growing up. Well, one day, I'm reading the word, and I'm like, woo-hoo. Somebody left out a very important part. And this was Christine Morgan. This is what I would do. I would give myself away to a situation, to someone, to something. And if it was not met with the same, how many of you know when the Holy Spirit's inside of us, that spirit agrees? It should agree, okay? But when that spirit was not met with agreement, I could shake the dust off, okay. But guess what I took with me? The last part of that scripture, it says, shake the dust off, let your peace return to you, and then go on your way. So the Lord started showing me, Christine, your peace is all over the place. You left it with her. You left it with this situation. You left it in that hospital. You left it with that doctor. Let your peace return to you. So yes, shake the dust off, but let your peace come to rest back on you. Okay? So that's the first thing, is to let our peace return to us, to fan the flame. The second thing is what is mentioned in verse 5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you. What do we see there? A spiritual heritage, right? This is part of the way we fan the flame. I can tell you right now, we fan the flame in our house because my mom lives there. And she's given me a heritage in the Word, and so has my dad. This was, I'm going to mess it up here, 16 years this week that my daddy went to heaven. And it's been one of the greatest blessings of my life to have had him for a father and her for a mother. And they raised me. My grandparents raised her to believe in the Lord. And guess what? My grandparents' parents did not. So it started with my grandparents. But if my grandparents hadn't decided to trust and serve Jesus, I wouldn't be here. My mom wouldn't be here. A spiritual heritage is a beautiful thing. So a way to fan the flame is to go to the people that are our spiritual heritage, that enter, and they don't have to be your family. The ones that introduced you to Jesus, the ones that discipled you, the ones that corrected you, the ones that helped you grow. And let me say this, if you're sitting there and you didn't have that, be that. If you didn't have that spiritual heritage, you be that. You be what you don't have. I say that in marriage all the time. You want something from your husband, you be that to him. Guarantee you will get it in return. So if you didn't have that spiritual heritage, don't let the enemy push your head down. You're here. You're learning. You have mentors. You have people. You have a family around you and a heritage in the Lord. Amen? The second thing we can do to fan the flame in our lives, and this is a power, this is very personal to me, but is to pray out loud. How many of you make that a practice to pray out loud? I didn't for a long time until I was in college. I thought, well, God knows my heart. He reads my heart and I can say to my heart. But I realized that there is power when the Spirit of God dwells inside of us and His Word abides in us. When we speak it out, it is agreeing with His Spirit. There's power in you hearing your own words. Amen? Number three, a way to fan the flame in our lives is to worship. And you know why? Not because the songs make us feel good and move us and make us cry and make us dance or shout, because worship centers on the character and the person of Jesus Christ. The words are about who He is and what He's done in His Word. So worship is a powerful tool to fan the flame. To fan the flame in our lives so we can stir up the gifts that God's given all of you gifts, but they lay dormant when we are exhausted or when we are burdened down with the cares of the world. But God wants to call out those gifts in you, not only to fulfill His purpose in your life, but to benefit this body. We're meant to benefit each other. Your gifts, my gifts, are meant to benefit each other. Number four, the fourth way that we can fan the flame, and I love this one, and don't check out on me at this word because it's a God word and it's not a world word, okay? But meditate. Meditate on Him. Meditate. Meditate on Him. And I've said this many times, it's a mantra in my life, is if you know how to worry, then you know how to meditate. If you're a worrier, you're going to be an awesome meditator. It just has to be, what are you thinking about? Worrying is obsessing about things you cannot fix, things you cannot control, things you don't have any say over, or those kind of things. And I'll tell you this, even if your worst fear or the thing you worry about the most happens, God is there. God's there. God's there. If your bank account goes to zero, what did we just say? He's our provider. He will make way. He will make way. My worst fear, as in anyone's, was losing a child. I have. And I'm here. And I'm breathing. And I'm talking to you. And He's making a way. Every day He's faithful. Every day He shows me His love in Himself. So I want to encourage you. If you know how to worry, then you know how to meditate. You take His word. You take worship. All of those things that feed your spirit, not your flesh. And you put them in there. So at the right time, what do? They come out. If you read a scripture in the morning about God's faithfulness, okay? And you're in a situation at work where somebody's negative and talking about how the world's falling apart, out of your mouth comes that scripture. Brings life to that situation. Brings life. It's meditating on His word. No matter what season you are in, these things work. Whether it's a joyful season or a challenging season, a scary season, sorrow filled, or if you're facing a lot of opposition right now, these are ways we can fan the flame. And yes, we have a responsibility in some way. I'm so tired. I don't want to do anything. God's already done what needs to be done for your salvation. But we're talking about not letting the enemy get a foothold in your peace. Not letting the enemy deceive you into staying in a place where you are lacking peace and ineffective and being snuffed out. Okay? Meditating on His word. Another very important way that we take the power out of that, what the enemy tries to do to our flame, is to serve. What? I need people to serve me. We live in a serve me society, don't we? I mean, my goodness, we go out to drive through and they can't get it out there fast enough. Are you kidding me? Someone's making food inside a building, putting it in a bag and handing it to you out the window. You know, come on. But we are that way. We love to be served. And they just didn't fill my tea up enough, so they're going to pay with that tip. Really? Go home and make your own tea. We always tip waiters and waitresses well, especially during COVID, because they need it. Be nice. Be nice to people. Everybody is working through this thing right now. I'm making a joke, but I am saying we like to be served. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? But God created us to serve. And not just to serve, but to serve with a purpose. And not just to serve with a purpose, but to serve with the purpose He created you to do. And not just to serve with the purpose that He created you to do, but to serve with the purpose He created you to do in power and in freedom. So this is the scripture, Romans 12, 11 through 13. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be reverent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And here's the part. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. You know, we're supposed to take care of each other. Do you know that your gifts are supposed to bless me and my gifts are supposed to bless you? Do you know that this worship team, who I love with all of my heart and have every confidence in this world in them as people and musicians, that they bless you? They don't just come in here on Sunday morning and bless you. They bless you by living their lives to honor God. They bless you by standing up here, rehearsing, being here early, being skillful on their instruments. They bless you because they're using their gifts that God gave them. Well, God gave all of you a gift. And that is one way the fire stays kindled. You should have seen him this morning because he missed 2 weeks playing the guitar. That's why I'm like, everybody else, just, he is so anointed this morning. He is, because that gift had been stored up inside of him. And it just came out like a flood this morning during rehearsal even, because it was kindled. It struck up that fire and began to, you know, become like flames. God's got that for all of you. If you don't know what that is, find out what that is. Ask the Lord to show you what that gift is. And I can tell you one gift that all of you have inside of you. That's the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to kindle that up, and a lot of things are going to go your way. A lot of things are going to be good in your life, and discernment will come, and God will show you these specific gifts. But the Holy Spirit inside of you, lives inside of you, that came when you received Christ into your life. That Spirit enables you to choose every fruit that he offers. The fruits of the Spirit came alive or were available to you when the Holy Spirit came inside of you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's all there. There's just one catch. You have to choose it. You don't have to ask God for joy or gentleness or faithfulness or self-control, because it's there in his Spirit. You have to say, help me choose it. Can you help me choose it? You already gave it to me. It's a gift. It resides inside of me. So now when I'm in a situation, I'm going to be conscious of that. And the fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to pick a fruit. That's what we say in our home. Whoop, that's an issue. Pick a fruit. Pick a fruit. What fruit do you need right now for this occasion? Pick that fruit. And that's what we do. It's a choice. I know a lot of Christians want God to do it all and sweep in, and he does. He's done it all. But he wants to participate with us. He wants us to have understanding and discernment about what he's given us and what he's done. How much more when you understand the value of a gift? when you understand somebody went out of their way to give me, even if the cost is not to give you what your heart desired, no matter how big or small, God's given us these gifts and He wants us to choose them. He wants us to use them. So I encourage you today to ask the Lord how to fan that flame inside of you. I don't want to see the enemy use this time to snuff out and to make us look like the world. I want us to be beacons of, I want us to be bonfires. I want you to be a bonfire on your job. I want your house to light up with the presence of the Lord. I want your spirits to be encouraged that God knows and He sees. And He offers you, for that fear, for that anxiety, love. Say it. Peace, love, and a sound mind. And all we have to do is say yes. Amen. Would you stand? Del, I'm going to put you